Welcome to the WW News Today podcast. Yes, the WW News Today podcast. It's the WDW News Today podcast. My name is Eric Morton. With me, as always, well, not as always, because this is our last time for a long time. Yeah. Tom Corliss, my sidekick for the day.
Yes.
Sad day, right?
Why?
This is your last day before your Japan adventure.
I haven't been in a year, so I'm very excited to go back. I'm not excited about, obviously, there's, you know, with such an extended visit, there are a lot of, there's a lot of little things I need to do as far as, like, setting up internet and phone and all these sorts of things that are a little different from a usual vacation to Japan, but I'm excited.
Does your just regular old Verizon work over there? You have to get like a special international thing?
I think if you're going for 2 or 3 weeks, it makes sense to just do the Verizon thing because I think it's $10 a day, but it's limited.
A day?
Yeah.
Ouch.
It's limited bandwidth though. So like if you're not uploading videos, you're fine. But that is a thing we do, right? If I'm tweeting and doing
Instagram, you better be uploading videos.
And stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah. So I'm going to get an eSIM just to make things a little cheaper and a little easier, honestly. Also, it's not super fast either. So you're fine with that if you're traveling.
So, like,
but
what's the deal with
that? A little bit of a
Their trains
setup.
Go 200 miles an hour, but their internet is like 1.5
Apparently
megabits?
Apparently their public – I was reading stuff that their public Wi-Fi is great, but I don't think the home Wi-Fi is going to be great. We're gonna see. This is gonna be a week of learning. Also, I have to do the for our Club 33 and up level Wigs members. I do have to do the Zoom with Tom this week, and I guess it's gonna have to be from Japan.
In the middle of the, I guess early in the morning for you.
Yeah, so that's the nice thing about like Europe is tough because it's 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah,
I find that Japan works nicely because. You know, because it's the exact opposite, right? That
13 hours in a day ahead of us, basically.
Yeah, it works out nicely because then it's like, well, when people here are going to bed, I can talk to them in the morning. And when it's, you know, when I'm waking up, I can talk to people before they, you know.
Please do not call me at 3 in the morning.
No, I told people just let stuff pile up in Slack. And then when it is my work time, I will communicate with everyone. I'm not going to text people.
I am extremely worried here. I have a lot of anxiety because.
I mean, you typically
we
do anyway.
Are moving. Well, expanding.
Your anxiety is expanding. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. like the universe. Our office right now is borderline unusable because we have a lot of stuff piled up waiting to go into the new space.
Yeah.
We have multiple storage units. We have all of your stuff, which is quite a lot of stuff.
Who would think that I have 110
bins?
Did we count that?
There's 110 bins.
I have 110 bins of stuff just from my apartment.
That's not even counting like your furniture and clothing and stuff that we just moved in bags and regular boxes. So I am told that Jason's in the last 30 days purchased 110 bins.
Oh, there's still a couple left over. We might be at 100 though.
Oh, in that case.
We might be at 100 bins.
At any rate, that means it's very hard to operate in here and do all the things we need to do get ready for stage 89, including tripling the size of our museum, building new exhibits.
Do we know it's tripling? Have you done the square footage? Is that real?
I'm just guessing. Oh, okay. Maybe double.
I wasn't sure if like someone calculated.
Double. A little more than double. And then actually prepping the studio space for stage 89, moving our booth. Our production booth is totally moving next door. Our entire office is moving next door. We have to rip down, like, the old cubicles. We're going to sell them. Yeah. Hit me up, Eric at WDWNT.com.
If you want to
buy five
Orlando
really
area,
nice cubicles.
I need really – they're very nice, and we are taking offers. They're probably cheaper than you think.
So just working out in my head what it's going to take to do the museum is probably about 30 days' worth of labor.
You don't have 30 days.
We don't have 30 days.
No.
On top of that, setting up the new studio space, moving the booth, getting everything set up for stage 89 in the other room is about 20 days of work.
Yeah.
I might not have 20 days. Getting us settled in our offices and getting all of your stuff over there and all of the rest of the company stuff over there several days. We don't yet have furniture for those, so building furniture and all that kind of stuff several days. We don't have access to the space yet because they're still doing flooring, painting,
correct,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't have enough time to do the things we need to do.
Yeah.
And that's not counting the fact that I have to film 15 episodes of News Today and 5 episodes of the podcast between now and then.
Possibly 15 News Todays. I may do a
couple. Let's just say I got to film 20 shows and, oh, by the way, run the company.
I mean, I'm not dead.
You're going to be just running around with a smile on your face all day long.
I don't have park tickets every day. It's not like I'm going to the park every day.
It's just going to be a lot. I just want you to know.
It will be a lot. Like, I'm not trying to diminish that.
If you stop by the studio and you see me and my beard is 3 times its normal length and my eyes are bulging out and I'm shaking, well, you know why.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe a nice final episode before you take off would be to talk about, and I'm kind of forcing you to be nice. Non-sarcastically, I need you to talk about things that you're going to miss from here and from Walt Disney World.
Oh, so we're doing a really short episode today.
No, I think it's possible when you get over there, you're going to be like, man, I wish I had my bed. I wish I had this big plush mattress. Yeah. Maybe whatever you're going to have over there is not comfortable, or maybe you're going to be claustrophobic due to the limits of space there and the amount of density of people.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll miss driving your car. Maybe you're going to miss certainly a lot of things about Walt Disney World I think that I would miss, even though I would be very happy with what I had there.
Yeah.
So specific to Walt Disney World, I want to talk about specific things. Because we can say general things, right? What are some general things that Walt Disney World has on the rest of the Disney resorts? The hotels, right? This vast expanse of all these hotels and all these dining options and things like that. I'd like to acknowledge that that is a big benefit of Walt Disney World, but also zero in on some of the favorites. I think I know what some of them will be.
I hate to be that guy, but I don't even like Disney Springs that much, but I think having that plethora of dining options adds a lot.
Just knowing it's there and that it's an option is comforting, right? You're like, hey, I'm trying to think of a place I want to go eat dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And people who are not local are kind of rolling their eyes at me right now. But that is the thing. When you live here, you're like, hey, where am I going to go? Do I want to go don't want to go civilian side, right? Do I want to go to Carrabba's and Outback Steakhouse and all these other places? Or do I want to go, into the fray and eat at a hotel or a park or at Disney Springs? And it's nice to have those options.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where to start, but I figure a good place to start is dining.
Yeah, I mean, Sanaa, I'm going to miss Sanaa.
Is Sanaa your number one?
Yeah. I love Sanaa, even though they got rid of the candy bar, which we won't talk about. My Spice Trader candy bar has been removed with the 4 new desserts.
I didn't really like the candy. I think that candy bar was okay.
That's my favorite dessert on this planet.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
No. Okay, Sanaa. So does that mean that you think Sanaa is the best restaurant at Disney World?
Yeah. I do. I think you're factoring in price, quality, atmosphere. We're factoring all those things in, right? Because I think there are probably better signature meals at Disney World, but you can't go have that all the time. The price difference is giant.
I love Sanaa, but I mostly love the bread service. Their entrees are what they are. They're good.
Soup,
They're pretty good. I think Sanaa is a really cool environment, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I think
it's soup, up
there. I think my favorite in terms of the best meal that I've had on property, I think was at Flying Fish.
But you can't go to Flying Fish every week.
Why not?
You have that kind of money.
Is it that much more expensive than Sanaa?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah.
It's a little more expensive than Sanaa.
Sanaa, sometimes I don't even get an entree. Sometimes I just get bread and a soup and then maybe a dessert.
But then there's also there are other highlights, kind of unknown stuff people don't think about.
Yeah.
Plancha.
Yeah.
At the Four Seasons, right? That is technically within the boundaries of Walt Disney World property. Their brunch is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And people don't know about that. But you set out on the terrace and overlook the kind of golf facility and stuff. I think that's a thing that I would really miss.
Yeah, I'm going to miss Sunday table afternoon service. Yeah.
What?
Table service in general I'm going to miss.
What about counter service?
No, at Disney World, I won't miss that.
But we've spent two episodes where you've touched on the fact that the dining, the quick serve dining at Tokyo Disneyland leaves a lot to be desired.
It does, but there's also a couple places I really love and I'll be more than fine with, which Hungry Bear and, you know, I'll go to Pan Galactic occasionally. And then for my curry fix, my Indian curry fix, I love Casbah Food Court at Disney Sea is pretty good.
There's no counter service here that you think, I wouldn't mind going there when I get back.
I stopped going to Satouli when they changed the beef. So Satouli kind of got lost. But is there any other counter service?
Is that your favorite,
like?
Satouli?
I know, I mean, a lot of people. It's everybody's favorite. What are the other ones I even like? Nothing at Magic Kingdom. Epcot. Anything at Epcot.
Oh, the electric umbrella. Ooh.
Yeah.
I was at Epcot yesterday, and I was like, I could use a counter service meal. And thinking about it, I was like, you know, there's nothing I really want. I was 100 feet from Regal Eagle, and I was like,
Regal Eagle's good.
It might be the best counter service.
But I don't eat there. That's never like a decision made in advance. That's usually like, we've been drinking, and it's dinner time now, and it's time to eat something. Regal Eagle's good enough. They'll do that.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same thing with Connections, too. It's never like, I never go there with, like, I'm going to eat at Connections today. It just happens.
When I was leaving the park last night, it was before Luminous, right? Luminous is, I don't know, we're like a half hour before Luminous.
Yeah.
And I'm walking out of the park, and in Connections, there are three, like, teenagers or young, very young adults.
Yeah.
And they're standing in the window of Connections, like behind some of the seating, just pretending to be mannequins.
That's amazing.
And it was, I don't know why, I just thought it was really funny. But it was on the Starbucks side, right? Over there.
A lot of people are passing. Yeah,
a lot of people pass by. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about counter service. I mean, best counter service if you expand into Disney Springs and the resorts is Eat, right?
Yeah.
Is Eat counter service, though?
It is.
Yeah. I mean, they bring it to you, but you order at the counter.
Yeah. Right? So it's a counter service.
It's pretty darn good.
Eat is fantastic. I've only been back. Yeah. I've only been the three times. I need to go again. Obviously, it's going to be a while. I'm going to take my parents. My parents are coming for Stage 89. So we're going to do a lot of the tourist stuff. So we'll actually do park days and stuff at some point, I'm sure. But I'll take them to go to Eat. I think they'll like it. They like Indian food.
Any snacks you're going to miss?
No.
No, because you have all the snacks there.
There's nothing at Disney. Like I've said, like the coconut Dole Whip is the only snack I get in the park. I used to get the lumpia a lot, but I cut back on that.
Coconut
I tried
Dole
to
Whip
start eating
is,
less
is like,
of that stuff.
In a world where you can get the orange cream swirl, why would you get the coconut Dole Whip?
Because I don't like citrus.
No.
I don't want citrus flavors in maybe in a salad. That's about it. I don't want citrus.
I love the look on your face.
Citrus dessert is
scornful.
Coconut or pineapple for dessert. But even then, I don't like Dole Whip. I hate Dole Whip. I don't want that flavor in ice cream. Yeah. Coconut feels right. I like coconut.
Did you have the orange Dole Whip flavor of Quirk, the orange cream?
No, they gave me the – or was that? It was jalapeno.
No, you got the one with chili in it. It was like something with chili.
I thought it was jalapeno pineapple or something.
Yeah, pineapple chili.
Yeah, okay.
You got the pineapple chili.
That
Quirk,
was good.
Man, Quirk is doing
it's
good
It's very
things.
Good. They do not sponsor this show.
No, we need Quirk to start distributing more in Florida because the only ones we have at Total Wine here are like the botanical. We're talking about seltzer. Like it's something I chug all the time.
Yeah.
But they have like a botanicals collection. It's okay. It's like a variety pack. But like their whips, which are like have that cream in them or the fizzes.
Yeah.
Oh, the rocket pop when it becomes summertime. That's what I'm
okay.
What I'll be after.
All right.
So you're not going to miss any counter service?
No. I'm sure I will miss American food after 4 weeks. I'm pretty sure of that.
And so I think, and just I didn't verify this, but through casual conversation, our last episode, you talked about like they have like an Applebee's to scratch your itch. I think I discovered that's a TGI Fridays.
Oh, is it? Maybe
those
it
are
is.
Kind of indistinguished. I mean, I don't know if anybody
Fridays
has
this. Is way better than
is
Applebee's. It,
it
might have been Fridays.
Aren't they
kind of
the same
Fridays,
thing?
That's right.
Aren't they kind of the same thing?
I almost said Fridays last time, but I was like, does Fridays have chicken tenders? I didn't remember that being a Fridays thing.
Know.
No, but you're right though. I'll go to that Red Lobster. The Red Lobster is fine, the Xperia Red Lobster. But also, like, I'm not going to be staying on property. Like, I can go find all manner of American chain restaurants. And after 3 weeks, if I feel I need one American meal, I will go find some chain in the city. Or I'll just go get McDonald's. Japanese McDonald's always hits the spot.
We do have the Wigs are watching us record this live. They are. This gets pumped out on Tuesdays, but we're recording it. It's Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
So shout out to all the Wigs watching. You can learn to become a Wigs member. You go to www.nt.com/Patreon or patreon.com/WDWNT. Either way, Wigs at the $7 and above level get to watch us record this live. We have a little bit of chat beforehand, maybe a little afterwards sometimes. Maybe they get, if I drop an F-bomb or something, they can see that before it gets edited out. You know, all the good behind-the-scenes type of stuff.
Scott did ask how long my extended stay is. The first leg is going to be a month, because obviously I have to be back for Stage 89. And then after Stage 89, I will go back.
So you're going straight to Pixar Fest on your way back, though, right?
I am. So on the way back, I am stopping in California to help them with Pixar
Fest. Just have your private jet, like, stop, pull over, drop me off here.
Swift, it's like Taylor Swift. You've seen those memes?
No.
Taylor Swift going to the kitchen to get a drink, and it's a jet flying from a bedroom to a kitchen. Yeah.
You might be flying on Delta or something. But
I will be flying Delta Dream Flight.
That will be a fun experience for you to go from Japan, Tokyo Disneyland, fly and land at at Disneyland, which I think you would say is a slight step down in terms of the quality of the parks compared to Japan. And then you come to Disney World, your parks you hate the most.
There was, we had someone come to News Tonight from Australia.
Yeah.
And she has been to, I think she's been to every other park but here. And I jokingly said, well, you've saved the worst for last. And she laughed and then kind of agreed. And I was like, yeah, it's sad. Oh, the bird that poops outside.
Oh, no, the bird is back.
He's here to poop on our
oh, my God, not the poop bird.
On our entry. Go away.
So we have like a covered entryway.
Yeah.
And there was just like, there was so much white on the concrete outside that I thought someone had spilled paint.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, it's poop. So we pressure washed it off. And within a week of it being pressure washed, it was back in full effect.
This is where he comes.
He
comes here to do his business and then he leaves.
So the funniest part is Tom opened a door and screamed at the bird one time, like, hey, shoo. And the bird flew. It's like, an ibis or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it sat on my hood.
And it flew and landed on Tom's hood and stood there on the hood of Tom's car for a very long time.
He didn't poop on
aggressively.
The car,
he kind of fell off, though. Didn't he slip?
He did fall off. He was not coordinated.
Yeah.
But they do. I think because there's shade there, right? So I think they like to do their business in the shade. So they go under here, do their business
out of the wind. He's out of the wind. It doesn't blow back and land on his legs or something.
You know. But what were we talking about?
We were talking about Disney World.
No, but I mean more specifically. Also, Wigs member Dale said Flame Tree is amazing. Is it, though? Like, they got rid of their own barbecue sauce. That was the only reason I used to eat there was when they had their own spicy barbecue sauce. That's long gone now. I don't think there's anything that special about Flame Tree anymore. I know people like the mac and cheese with the onion ring. It's solid. I get it. But I don't think Flame Tree's anything fantastic.
Yeah, there's not a particular like counter service that I crave. In fact, quite often I will just acquiesce and go, you know what, I'm hungry, I'm just gonna go, let's just say Cosmic Rays.
Yeah.
Two bites into Cosmic Rays, you're like, this is so unsatisfying.
Yeah.
This is like Cosmic Rays is like the Chili's of Disney. Like Chili's is most of their business is owed to the like fact that a family of people who disagree on where they want to eat can all agree and go, all right, let's just go to Chili's.
Like, what are you talking about?
And Cosmic Rays, I think when you're in the parks, you're like, I guess we'll just go to Cosmic Rays or something there's something that everybody can eat.
Who doesn't want honey chipotle chicken crispers? They're amazing. Have you had them?
Yeah. I don't like their chicken crispers at Chili's because they have, like, there's a little too much batter in there. So you bite through the crunchy layer and there's a little bit of that little chewy batter layer before you get to the chicken. I don't know. But I just think, like, Chili's has made a great business out of being agreeable enough that people that can't agree on anything else would say, okay, screw it. Their motto should be, screw it, let's just go to Chili's.
Yeah.
I think okay. So. I like think Chili's. That's kind of Cosmic Rays. They have enough variety that people are like,
see, I don't agree with that because Cosmic Rays is, like, grosser than, like, any fat. Like, at least at McDonald's or Burger King, you get a hamburger that's edible. Cosmic Rays is not really great. Doing that.
And I'll go there. I'll be like, I'm really hungry. Forget it. I'll just go to Cosmic Rays.
Pecos
right here.
Is the only place I'll eat in that park on if I'm in a
even
pinch.
Pecos, though, I like a few bites into it. I'm like,
fajitas are fine.
They're okay.
They're fine. That's more like the, what are we going to do? We don't have a dining reservation. We have to eat in this park. All right, fine. We'll go to Pecos Bills. We're really selling people on Disney World, right? But I've said this before. I think once you go to all of them, you come to the realization that the Disney World parks are not very strong as Disney parks. They're kind of the weakest in the bunch. But where we excel is dining and resort hotels and then just the property in at large, right?
There's still something about Epcot that nobody else has done, right? That is special, even though it, in its current form, it's not as popular probably with people.
I just don't like what it's become, right?
But I walked around World Showcase last night looking at all the buildings and the pavilions. And you're like, man, this is really beautiful. And
yeah.
I will say that this might be a thing that you miss, and it is general. I asked you for specifics. This is kind of general. But just the ability to, like, you know what? I'm just going to buzz over to Epcot and, like, walk a lap and hang out and catch a vibe and see my friends, have a drink, watch a band play, and go home.
Yeah.
And I could do that in 2 hours.
Yeah.
I would miss that. And you walk around, and it is a pleasant place. I mean, you look the castle in Germany, you walk about, you know, all the things that catch your attention. You look at it, and you're like, oh, I never noticed that thing right there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's a lot of detail there. And I do think Epcot, for that reason, is still just a very special park. And it's a place that, especially like the people that are Disneyland people, West Coast people, come and they're like, oh, man, Epcot. Like, I think that's the thing that they're like excited about when they come here, right? They're excited to see Epcot.
I just think the drinking around the world thing has really hurt the atmosphere in that park because there's just so many people just actively trying to get wasted.
Yeah, there are people who are not – this isn't their thing, right? They just come here to get hammered once a year. And I get it, right? I used to be a food and wine person. We drank around the world and in Road Mission Space here on our channel, I think, or maybe on our other channel.
Yeah.
Let's all get matching T-shirts and get hammered. And nobody's ever seen a shirt that says malt whiskey instead of Walt Disney before, huh? And you're like, no, there's hundreds of them in the park every day, sir. You know, or the bibbity bobbity blasted. You know, all the like, oh, I want to come up with a Disney phrase that means getting drunk. They're all out there. They're all on T-shirts. They're not clever anymore. And I think when you move in these packs, it can get annoying.
Yeah.
I don't fault the people for wanting to come and have a good time, but it has made the Epcot experience something that I don't think the park is designed to handle. And so
it's just hard to watch that progression from the edutainment park into the drinking festival park. It's hard to live with that.
I think Food and Wine Festival used to be kind of about culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, try a taste from our country. Here's a small sampling of what we have. And
there's still some of that to it. But
it's turned into, like, how drunk can you get?
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Like, the spirit is still there at times, but the what people see that park as has changed fundamentally, and it would take a seismic cultural shift to send it in another direction again.
I think there's no going back. I think you have to just accept and embrace and move on and try to scrape the joy out of the places that there's still joy left to scrape. Yeah. And I think I can enjoy myself on a not super crowded day walking around World Showcase. Last night, because whenever the orchestra plays, the guys that all used to be in ELO, whenever they play, Lee is going to want to go to Epcot to watch that. She cut every set last night. But, I mean, you walk in America Gardens Theater, and you could walk in the middle of the set. There's plenty of room. Like, it wasn't, like, packed, you know? Like, some of these when you see – when they have a bigger act or whatever that comes through, and there's a very long line, and mostly the people with dining packages are there. What do you got?
I'm just reading what people said.
That's not your eyebrow raise.
Dark Sand X brought up their favorite counter service being Harambe Market. I think Harambe Market used to be fantastic back when it was the separate ordering windows. I think since they went down to the current setup, it's been kind of Pecos Bills. Yeah, it's fine. Casey's Corner. I mean, corndog nuggets. You can't go wrong with the corndog nuggets.
Again, like ultimately unsatisfying, right? It's like you get a couple and you're like, oh, cool, corndog nuggets. And then you're like, you want that last three? Because I don't. Yeah. Sunshine Seasons is one of those two that like started out promising. It looked like, oh, it's going to have all these kind of cool options and good high quality food. And you can see them preparing it right there. Like it seemed kind of elevated.
Yeah.
And the last time I went there was inedible and disgusting.
COVID killed Sunshine Seasons. I used to get that. My go-to there used to be the pork tenderloin thing. With mashed potatoes, and it was a high quality meal for counter service. Yeah. I used to like go in the salmon and the fish tacos. The fish tacos were outrageous. Yeah. And then COVID happened and they did the limited service and then they never came back.
I think that things I've eaten at Connections were decent. I just feel like the place has no soul. I feel like it's just, it feels like I'm in an airport or a food court or I don't know. It's not a fun place that I think about, like, oh, I'm going to go there.
Airport.
Yeah, you're in the airport.
The airport commissary.
If only the Orlando airport had a place to eat that was that nice on the airsides. Holy crap.
On the airside, yeah.
The airsides are so bad.
I can't remember the last time I ate at the weird food court on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
The mega food court. I haven't been there in ages, man.
No. Did you... So I dropped you off at the airport last week.
Yeah.
Did you... You went to Terminal C, the new terminal. How's that? Is it better?
Yeah. I grabbed food at Cask and Larder. It was fantastic. Yeah.
There's a Cask and Larder in the regular airsides, too.
I think so.
Because they have a good bourbon selection at a decent price.
That's the that's the people that operate Ravenous Pig, right? And Polite Pig. Isn't all the same people?
I don't know. I know there is or was a Cask and Larder in downtown St. Pete that I've been to, too. So it's not just a place that targets theme parks and airports.
Let's see. I think they're owned by the same people as Ravenous and Polite Pig, I thought. Yeah, the Swine family, yep. So the same people you guys know the Polite Pig, obviously, but the Ravenous Pig is a very good Orlando restaurant as well, and the Cask and Larder's from the same people. The one at the airport, I had a tremendous chicken sandwich, and the side of Brussels sprouts were fantastic.
I wonder, does their wine bar George just have wine, or does it have a menu like
this? I think there's food at the little wine bar George. I haven't been to that one yet. I did there's a summer house in there, too, and I ate there before summer house on the lake opened at Springs just to try a little bit, and I liked it. So wasn't super surprised when we liked summer house on the lake at Disney Springs.
Some random restaurant chatter in the wigs. Le Cellier is mentioned.
Yeah.
I like it. It's okay. I think the steak at Flying Fish is better for a similar price to Le Cellier.
Yeah.
Beer Garden. I love Beer Garden. I know you hate Beer Garden. I love Beer Garden.
I don't hate Beer Garden. Beer Garden became one of my go-tos in the post-COVID period when it was family style.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as good as a buffet. I think the food quality took a big dip.
Oh, I like it as a buffet because I like to pick what I – like, there's just much more to pick from.
I understand that, but the food quality was so much better. I don't hate – I love Beer Garden. The interior is fantastic. I don't want to sit with strangers, but I think they're still not doing that.
Yeah.
Last I went, they still weren't seating
the
strangers.
So actually, what's cool is they have done that, but the last time I went there, they're not making you sit at tables of like 8 or 10 or whatever. They were actually putting tables. A little like a foot between some of the tables, which I think is great. People mentioned Olivia's. I know you used to love Olivia's.
I used to before I fought with the manager. Yeah,
Sebastian's Bistro. We love that.
Sebastian's. Right?
That was
great,
a good value. It was like $35 bucks for a really good meal.
Beaches and Cream. Who doesn't like Beaches and Cream?
Yeah. Some people like Boma.
Boma's great.
I've had good and bad experiences on
Peanut Rice Night. You got to go though.
I want to go to Boma sometime and just have like a Zebra Dome eating contest. Who can eat the most Zebra Domes?
You know, I love Zebra Domes, but I feel like after like 3 or 4, your body's like, this, no more of
that's
these,
why we need
please.
The contest.
But I could eat that whole, if they put the whole pot of the peanut rice on my table, I would eat it. Like, I would undoubtedly eat an entire giant pot of that peanut rice.
That's how I am with the chicken fried rice at Benihana.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But that peanut, you have to find out what, I know it's out there. I know there's places you could look to find out which nights are peanut rice night, but.
That's the main thing of Teppanito that, I mean, they don't have chicken fried rice.
They do not.
And I think they claim that that's because it's not Japanese. So
yeah.
I'm glad to go to Benihana where they're happy to blur the line for the sake of my taste buds.
Yeah. Citricose is great. But again, like Signature's not in all the time.
I've never eaten a Citricose.
We have to go.
There have been a Citricose, Narcoosi, 1900 Park Fair, or Victoria and Albert's.
Wow.
So
I went to new Narcoosi's finally. It was fine. I've had some bad Narcoosi's experiences in my life. It was fine. We should do Citricose. I have to do Citricose with my parents. You and Lee should come to Citricose.
Last week. Some of our Wigs members were in town, and they invited us to go on the fireworks cruise with them from Nepali. And we went past Narcoosi's. I was like, man, I kind of want to walk in there and just go to the bar and check it out.
I think that's the best thing to do. Go to the bar, get a bite to eat.
And I believe when Jason,
cocktails are fantastic.
Jason said the food was bad when it reopened.
Yeah. But I've been semi-recently, and it was pretty solid.
Because I know that, like, California Grill is sort of a degraded experience from what it once was with the sort of prefix menu thing they have going on.
Yeah.
And that's also quite unfortunate.
But we've never liked Narcoosi's, though.
No.
And we, you know, when my aunt used to, I have family with a lot of money, and we used to get dragged along on trips.
Oh, poor you.
Yeah, I know.
No, I don't want to go eat at a nice restaurant.
I don't
want
to stay at the Grand Floridian.
I want to eat at Casey's Corner.
But the one place we wouldn't eat is Narcoosi's because we had such a bad experience there. But we loved, back in the day, Flagler's.
Yeah.
That's where Citricose is now. And obviously, Citricose was always great. I think new Citricose is phenomenal. They've been doing, I don't know if I care for the interior, but the food is phenomenal. Yeah. And then Ohana's, again, the last year and a half, 2 years, I've tried to stay away from a lot of these places. I used to, obviously post COVID, I ate at Disney World every day, every meal for a long time. And then for a while, then I was like, well, for my own health, I need to stop doing that. And so a lot of these places have become more infrequent visits. Like Ohana has become like a once a year thing now.
Yeah, I do maybe once a year. I'll do Ohana for dinner, or I'll do Ohana for breakfast every other year or something like that.
Yeah,
it's fine. There's nothing wrong with Ohana. I've had some good experiences there. I've had some bad experiences there. It kind of just I know what you're gonna miss. DoorDash. No, but you are their top customer in this area. In this zip code, there's no way that you aren't the top DoorDash customer.
I think I'm their top customer in the world. I'm not even joking. I think that's true.
I mean, you on a normal day, you get two meals from DoorDash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of that is Pollo Tropical.
I do like my Pollo Tropical every day. What,
Tom is staying at my house for these few nights before he leaves. Yeah. And so last night I pulled up in a driveway and someone pulled up right behind me and said, Tom, and handed me a bag. That was Jersey Mike's or something.
Which is not a usual thing for me, but yeah. I already had Pollo Tropical for lunch yesterday.
Oh, the Little Greek?
I do order from Little Greek a lot. I like that. But I don't order McDonald's. I don't order Wendy's. I don't order that stuff. I order Pollo Tropical. I get a grilled chicken bowl with rice.
Yeah, Trop-a-Chop.
Yeah, and then, you know, Jersey Mike's, I got turkey and cheese and mustard on bread. You know, it's probably the most okay thing you could get.
So I guess Pollo Tropical, Caribbean flavors, sort of jerk. They have some jerk flavors. They have some grilled chicken and different flavors and rice and red or black beans and rice. And so that might not be something that you're going to be able to get in Japan.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think there's a lot of yuca and that kind of stuff, probably.
Yeah, and
I mean, I'm excited to have good. I love sushi.
Yeah,
like love sushi, and I don't have it here because I feel like every time I've had it here, I've gotten sick. So I'm like afraid to have it in Orlando. Generally, I did just when I went up to New York, we went to lunch at a nice sushi restaurant, and I was like, it's good to have decent sushi.
Again. You know where Lee says the best sushi on property is? You know this. You know the answer.
Oh, Kimono's?
No.
Oh.
Splitsville.
She's not wrong.
Yeah.
She's absolutely not wrong.
The bowling alley sushi is the best sushi on property.
It was better pre-COVID, though. I think it kind of took a dive.
Yeah.
But it, I don't disagree. Kimono's is, I don't know, people like Kimono's, though.
Yeah.
Joe Rohde's favorite spot on property, man.
Really?
Joe Rohde loves, this is secondhand. I don't know this for sure, but the story I've heard is that Joe will go to Kimono's every time he comes to Disney World. Like, he loves that.
I'm always on the hunt for, like, good, like, bar food, which is hard to find. Wings, though, I love the wings at City Works.
There's no Disney World wings.
City Works, I think.
That I love.
Not everyone's going to like the City Works wings. I'm very specific. I want them crispy. I want them to not be messy. So I don't want, like, all, like, slathered in sauce.
Yeah.
Axel claims the best wings are at Dahlia. I don't know.
Hmm. I'll miss lounges, right? Territory. Susan and Mike. Oh, shout out to Susan and Mike at Territory Lounge, who know the entire staff of this company and all of our personal lives.
You know how I met Susan? I think we met her first, maybe, before you knew her.
I think so. Didn't you go,
Axel
did
and
you go
I
with
went,
the Tuzans?
Axel and I went, and I think we had Lee and Axel's wife, Elisa, with us, and maybe even Jill.
Yeah.
We went to Dahlia the day it reopened after the NBA had been staying for
the bubble.
COVID bubble. And so we did a preemptive apology to Susan.
Oh, yeah.
I apologize that we're the poorest people you have waited on in the last, like, 90 days.
Yeah.
Right? And she's like, oh, no. She told us who was nice, who was not so nice, and whatever. And it was devastating when I found out she was leaving. But then we found out she was going to Territory Lounge.
Yeah.
And that's even better.
Territory is the best lounge on property.
I think it's definitely up there.
I think it's the best Disney bar on earth.
Here's the thing. It's easier to go there. Some of the places have sort of a paywall in front of them, right? They're like, like every now and then you can just go to Trader Sam's by going to the Polynesian and telling security I'm going to Trader Sam's.
Yeah.
But sometimes they'll give you the shakedown and say, okay, you need to go park at TTC or something
like
that.
That's when I go home.
Yeah, and that's when I go home. Usually Wilderness Lodge, if you say, hey, I'm going to Territory Lounge, they don't have a reason to be suspicious that you have an ulterior motive. Like, if you're at a monorail resort, okay, I understand that they think you might be trying to circumvent parking or transportation or whatever. Boardwalk has gotten nasty over the years. Their security became really unbearable.
Unless you arrive after Epcot Park close.
Yeah.
If you arrive after Epcot Park close and are like, I'm going to Abracadabra, no problem.
If I owned a business on the boardwalk, I would be furious with the way their security treats people. But that used to be kind of a coin flip. It was like, oh, during really busy times of the year or during Food and Wine or during holidays, you can't, but other times you can. And then when ESPN Club closed, it really put a cramp in everyone's style. So I wonder if Cake Bake is going to be like, can you please let people who say they're coming to our restaurant come in?
Yeah,
we'll see.
Not without a reservation.
We'll see what happens. Territory, Dahlia.
I know you love Dahlia. Dahlia's solid. Sorry, I know Bianca's probably watching, but
yeah, Dahlia's great.
Dahlia's fine.
That ham and cheese bocadillo, bro. The view at Dahlia is great. The vibe is great. Those might be the two best lounges. I mean, I like Jock Lindsay's. It has its place in my life. I'm not always in a mood to deal with Disney Springs. I'm not.
No, man.
And for a time, I wasn't in the mood to deal with the seating process at Jock Lindsay's for a while. It'd be empty, and they'd still have like a gatekeeper, and they'd be like, I see 500 empty seats in Jock Lindsay's. They're like, can I have your name and phone number, and we'll text you when it's ready?
Yeah.
And then you're standing there in front of the restaurant, and then you get a text to let you in. You're like, yeah, it's me. Yeah. You know, the one who just asked you, and they treat you like they'd never met you before.
Yeah.
They did that for a while. They got rid of that. What was the one you mentioned?
Nomad.
Yeah, Nomad. Yeah. Best in Park Lounge, right?
Yeah.
And
then Rivers Roost and Scat Cats, which I will miss both of those.
Yeah, I mean, Rivers Roost depends, right? If you're in the mood for like.
Oh, I like to go when Yeehaw Bob's not. Like, look, Yeehaw Bob is fantastic. It's a great show. But if I'm going there, I kind of just want to. I'm either going there. There's two separate reasons I'm going there. One is I'm going to see Yeehaw Bob. So I'm showing up early and I'm getting a table.
Right.
The other is I just want drinks and food, and I need that to not be a Yeehaw Bob night.
Right.
Like right. Those are the two different
experiences. I always like Yeehaw Bob. But it's when he's performing, he's an in-demand type of
the place performer. Is full. You're not sitting.
It's full, and there's kids running circles around the room and stuff, and it's a great rollicking time, but you need to be in the right mental space to do that.
You need to be prepared for it,
I like Turf Club. I know that's weird. And then, like, you talked about Scat Cats.
Yeah.
I've never been there.
I'm sorry, what?
I've only been there when I was seated, like, but they didn't have the whole lounge open. I was, like, seated in, like, the entry area.
The old one or the new one?
I don't know. This is 2 years ago. So, like,
I sat out in the lobby of the
club. So I've been there, but like they didn't have anything else going on.
So Scat Cat's Lounge used to be that seating area and then that inside space right in front of it, right?
Yeah.
Which used to have board games. I used to go with Nick and everybody. We would go and other people. And we'd order drinks, order food, play a board game. It was real laid back. And then the popularity, I think, the boozy beignets and other things sent them on a trajectory to where it was clear this was not going to work anymore.
Yeah.
To finally where someone went, hey, Bomb Famils is still abandoned next door. Could we use that?
Yeah.
And then they finally opened that. And that's great. When there's live music in there, it's fantastic.
Special shout out to Ale and Compass. Especially, like Heather was an amazing bartender. She's been since promoted out of there. Heather's fantastic.
Yeah.
Ale and Compass, another great spot.
I love how this has just become, instead of the episode about Tom missing things.
Know that you're not going to miss
the lounge episode. I will miss,
The lounge.
Dining in general. And, you know, hanging out at the resort hotels, right?
Watching Sunday football at Martha's Vineyard. That's a
Martha's
big one,
Graveyard. Right? Best place to watch Super Bowl, Martha's Graveyard.
Martha's Vineyard. Upwards of four TVs.
Not even. I think it was three.
Was it three?
We did a commercial for News Tonight 1 year for the Super Bowl. It was, I think the conversation at the meeting was, what's the worst place you could watch the Super Bowl at Disney World? And I think everyone looked around, and I think I just blurted out, Martha's Vineyard.
I still want to do, like, a flash mob type of thing where we just get, like, 50 people to rope drop Martha's Vineyard.
At some event, we should do, like, a bar hopping thing with everybody, and we all go to Martha's Vineyard and just overwhelm the two people working there.
Maybe Billy can put the Martha's Vineyard commercial in the middle of this episode. Yeah, sure.
The big game is this Sunday, and you're at Walt Disney World. What are you going to do? Watch it in your room with some to-go chicken tenders like a trash person? Set sail for Martha's Vineyard Lounge at Disney's Beach Club this Sunday for a super time. Our spacious bar area seats up to 30 guests. To watch the game on one of our six 40-inch LG TVs that used to be in our guest rooms but have since been deemed antiquated for them. Sit in a sea of vaguely Miami Dolphins team colors, surrounded by people who didn't even know what day it was. They were just trying to find somewhere to eat at this hotel that doesn't even have a real counter service location. Don't miss our incredible specials, such as 4 Buffalo Glazed Wings for just $12 before tax and gratuity. They're cooked on the outside, but somehow on the inside, they're ice cold. Enjoy a bowl of that classic football snack, New England Clam Chowder. And after 4 p.m., we've got those steaming mussels. There's also more beers to choose from than there are people in the whole bar. Over 22 bottles to choose from. And for the ladies, celebrate gender stereotypes by grabbing a refreshing piña colada. So this Sunday, where are you going to watch the game of the year? It sure as hell ain't going to be the ESPN Club. That's going to be a bakery for girls. Weigh anchor at Martha's Vineyard Lounge, conveniently located between Ariel's and the bathrooms at Disney's Beach Club Resort. You don't know where Ariel's is? It's that abandoned restaurant next to Beaches and Cream. No, not outside, inside. Through the doors. You know those restrooms before you go out to the pool, before the pool? The ones next to Cape May. Yeah. Past those, there's a ramp and a couple of steps. That's Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, that's a bar. No, it's open. be there.
But of course, we'll be super nice and we'll be patient. We're not going to be mean. But just to see the response from the two people working in Martha's Vineyard, we'll all be very patient and very polite and not cause trouble, but we're all going to show up.
There have never been more than seven people in here at any given time, sir.
Actually, Josh and I back in the day went to trivia. They started a trivia thing in Martha's Vineyard, and it was fun. It was still only like 15 people, but it was a good time. And that's when they did the tots, the tot menu. They had a bunch of loaded tots. It was pretty good.
Still a Cruise Cup guy. Haven't been there in a while.
They ruined Cruise Cup for me.
It used to be
when
the
fries changed. And
they still have the truffle fries, don't they? Do they change them?
They're different. It's not. I used to go to Cruise Cup once or twice a week. That was like... Sanaa and Cruise Cup were where we went. Sanaa used to be because cast member friends would have the discount. It'd be 50%.
Wow.
Or whatever it was. It was something crazy at Sanaa. It was one of the bigger ones for lunch. So we'd go to Sanaa lunch two or three times a week because it was so cheap. And then the other thing was at night, you typically end up at Cruise Cup.
Those are the days. I don't know. I haven't checked the chat. Let me see if we have any.
I miss good Cruise Cup. It's a hell of an atmosphere in there.
How did he get on the podcast if he's never been to Scat Cats? Like I said, I've been to Scat Cats, just not inside. I know.
So we need to take you to Citricose and Scat Cats when I come back.
I know.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do them as video reviews. We don't have video reviews of either of those places, so maybe we'll make it like a whole thing.
Oh, another one that people mentioned that we did a review that I think we never published.
Geyser
Point.
Yeah, I should probably send someone those files today. And I'm mad because I didn't get to finish it. They were out of the vegan mac and cheese bites.
And they got rid of your cheesy brisket.
Yeah. But the new stuff was good. I don't want to spoil the review, but the new stuff was good.
As a lounge, I mean, it's not the best lounge at Wilderness Lodge.
No. It's good, though.
And it has a weird seating.
It's too much of a hassle to see.
Where you go in, it looks like a bar. You can just walk up and sit down, and then you realize there's some sort of queue system and names and phone numbers being taken, and it's just weird.
Oh, Bellevue.
Bellevue's nice, but Bellevue's kind of just a little.
We used to go play board games and enjoy a drink there. It's a nice little. It's good if you want to get out of the hustle.
How quickly that place transitions from being very quiet to very loud and raucous.
Yeah.
And the bartenders can get overwhelmed pretty quickly because there's not a lot of space there for the bartenders. No. So they might have one or two bartenders there, and there's not a lot of space to operate. And they're easily handling the dozen or so people that are around, and all of a sudden, 25 people walk in the door.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I'll see if I can get my computer from home is sitting in this office, so I'm sure I could get those uploaded today. I'll plug it in somewhere. Find an outlet.
There's nowhere to put it.
Find an outlet that's not covered with 100 bins. We'll figure it out.
Unbelievable.
Let's plug a second iMac next to my iMac and my desk. There's two of them next to each other.
What about attractions?
Flight of Passage.
Flight of Passage, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. I mean, as much as I don't. As much as I'm not a fan of the trend of motion simulation and projection effects, I mean, I said there's nothing like someone's going to say Soarin'. I don't think Soarin's like
I hate Soarin', and I feel the opposite. I thought when Flight was going to open, I remember being like, I'm not going to like this thing. I don't like Avatar. I hate Soarin'. I'm not going to like this thing. And then I wrote it. I was like, that is completely different, and you actually feel something with this ride.
Oftentimes, someone will say, hey, what's the best ride at Disney? And you're tempted to say something like Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, or people ask about Tron or some of these newer rides. But every time I ride Flight of Passage, I'm like, I can't make a case for this not being the best attraction here.
The queue, the facade, the pre-show, the attraction, that whole exit walkout. There is this, you know, I heard Joe Rohde explain it as the moment you come out of the, you know, when the Banshee goes and hides in the cavern from the Toruk Mokto after you get chased for a while, he goes and hides and he takes a deep breath and you see everything light up. And then you emerge from there. There is this, what people that worked on it and even guests have explained, there is this weird feeling of euphoria when the Banshees come out of the cave and the music swells and you fly over the herd. And there is an emotional connection people are making with Flight of Passage that they don't make with a lot of the newer stuff, if I'm being honest.
That scene when you're kind of working towards the end, right? And you swoop down in the forest. And by the way, spatially, I'm trying to figure out, like, is the ocean lower than it was before I went in the cave? It seems like there's some layers to this land, like elevation-wise, I'm not sure. But
no, you flew up into the mountains.
I know, but it feels like at times you fly lower than where the ocean was and whatever. And it doesn't matter. We dive down and we're going through there. And then there's the people like riding in the stampede type of thing through the forest. I remember my friend's young daughters standing up like as much as you can in that seat, like, see my car! So excited.
No, it's fantastic. Rise, I know people like Rise. I loved Rise when it opened. And then once I saw Beauty and the Beast in Japan, I was then like,
it ruined it for you?
I was like, this is what the trackless ride should be, right? Like, you know, like Honey Hunt was older, so like there was enough difference there to separate it. But then especially like I already hated Runaway Railway. And then once I wrote Beating the Beast, I was like, Runaway Railway is garbage. It is the worst thing ever, considering this is what you can do. And we're going to see that, you know, we're going to see that all again now. We're going to see that even with Tiana's Bayou Adventure, right, with that level of animatronics. You're going to see like what physical – they built physical sets for Tiana. You know, I know people want to hate on it, but I think you're going to see
I definitely thought it was going to be projections and stickers.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because of the era we were in. That was common, right? There were lots of things that were heavy on projection. Rise of the Resistance at times is heavy on projection, right? The stormtroopers running around. I'm like, you guys get a little more movement with the screen, but why up on that ledger they're not just two stormtroopers that turn around and start shooting at us? That would have worked just as well. And the answer is money. The answer is maintenance and money. We don't want to fix it.
There's enough like large scale physical practical set pieces on Rise of the Resistance to be in awe of it. But there are areas where you're like, why'd they skimp here?
But like even in the commercials, right, they did the thing where the AT-AT head kind of tilts towards you and then fires. And I'm like, that's all anybody wanted. Like, don't get me wrong. I still love that one when you go to the left side.
It makes no sense.
Come down. That's great. But the other side, it's like, oh, if you look over there, there's two guys on a screen setting up a gun. Get it? Like, no. People want the AT-AT to shoot at them. Like, that's feel like they're in the experience.
That, among other things, makes no sense on that attraction.
Because it shoots around the hallway?
No. They're inside their own ship. And they're using powerful laser cannons to shoot at people that were 5 seconds ago so valuable that they had to be detained for questioning. Now the fact that we're leaving, they're like, oh, shoot them.
Yeah.
And let's risk blowing up the whole ship to do it. Because they might know nothing.
Yeah.
And they might know something and we don't really know.
Maybe.
I don't know. I feel like, but the practical stuff like the cannons that never work anymore. Kind of a coin flip as to whether or not Kylo Ren is going to be in B mode.
It's not even a good animatronic anyway.
Yeah, and it kind of, honestly, the real Kylo, when it's in A mode, is not great.
No. Yeah. What's impressive about
the ride is amazing.
Yeah, the change in elevation and the escape pod thing are insane. That is insane and incredible. And the pre-show, right? The fact that same door, I love, that's my favorite moment, is when that same door reopens on the ship. Yeah. People are facing the other door and they're like, what?
You walk into that hangar bay and it's on, every time it's a jaw drop, right? You walk in and you're like, maybe they could have taken two of these stormtroopers and given them guns and had them shoot at us inside.
Or maybe at least staffed a couple. There was a period where a couple of live action, live actor stormtroopers were staffed in Rise.
Yeah.
We saw that a couple times. That was cool. And then now it's like, well, no, it's just all these stormtroopers that don't move. It's a minor head tilt.
It's still a fantastic ride.
It is.
I don't want to sell it short on that. I just wish.
No, it is. I hate to be that guy, but once you've seen something better with the same technology, it's very hard to shake that, right?
Do they just not care about Star Wars in Japan? Is it just not a thing there? What's the deal with...
Supposedly, this may be wrong. This may be wrong. This is secondhand information. The story is that the older management in OLC did not necessarily understand Star Wars, right? So they bought Star Tours in the 80s because everyone was building it and it made sense.
Small footprint,
right?
Easy to replicate.
Yeah, and Star Wars has done well in Japan. China is where Star Wars is not so much a thing as it is in anywhere else, pretty much.
Oh, a franchise about rebelling against an oppressive empire? Why would they not like that in China?
Know, but they don't. Yeah. So, yes, over the years, like, Star Tours has continued to get merchandise, and they've done some Star Wars little promotions, but they've never really, OLC has never really jumped all in on Star Wars, although the rumor is the third park in Japan would have a Star Wars land that would be different from Galaxy's Edge. That's the word on the street. We'll see what happens. That maybe OLC, because they often make, you know, OLC really loves to sit back and watch Disney make mistakes. That's always been OLC's thing, is they sit back and they're like, well, we don't want to pay for the R&D and figure this out necessarily. And they have a couple times. But it's, we want to make sure you have something reliable and good, and then we will buy it, right? So I think with, like, Splash Mountain in Japan, like, or it opened first in California. Mm-hmm. Everyone looked at that California one and went, like, this is very good, but this could be better. This seating is no good. This ride system needs to be updated. These animatronics could be better. You could do more. And that's what the Tokyo one is. And then I think Florida kind of piggybacked onto that, right? So a lot of what made the Florida Splash better were things that probably were developed for the Japan one anyway, but we'd have to talk to someone that worked on that to find out exactly how that influenced it. But there's a reason those two opened the same year and were very different from the California one. But yeah, I think they sat back and they watched Star Wars Land, you know, work out in America, and we're like, well, that didn't really work out. They're not even building it in France. So when we do Star Wars, maybe we will do something different. And obviously, there's some really cool ideas that were drawn up for before it was Galaxy's Edge, when it was Endor and Tatooine. And man, that speeder bike ride would be something special. And I could see OLC buying that, being like, that's the thing we'll do. Let's do that.
We agree that what makes Walt Disney World special and sets it apart is the vastness and the resorts and the hotels and
absolutely,
all these things. I assume you're going to miss those, so
let me force
you to pick three resorts that are the best.
Animal Kingdom Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, Port Orleans Riverside. No thought necessary.
Okay. They're not.
Those are my three.
Wilderness Lodge is one of my top three.
What are your other one?
Fort Wilderness.
Sure, yeah.
And this is weird. Old Key West.
I love Old Key West.
I feel like Fort Wilderness and Old Key West, and to a lesser extent Wilderness Lodge, are, they feel the most like you're on vacation, right? So you can go to Fort Wilderness and not go to a theme park and have a blast, right? You can go to Old Key West and not go to a theme park and have a great time.
Yeah. And if you made Wilderness me pick Lodge, five, those would be my other two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think those are it. I mean, there's a lot to be said for places like, and Old Key West specify, I like the DVC side, right? They're these oversized spaces that are way bigger than they needed to build them, and they didn't know that. So all the subsequent DVC properties are a little smaller because they're like, oh, we don't actually need to give them that much space. And it feels like you're getting away with one when you're there because, like, oh, look at the size of this living room.
Yeah.
But, like, there's something to be said for the monorail resorts. There's something to be said for the Epcot resorts, but I just think in general as a place to spend a vacation.
Yeah,
I know Old Key West is probably an outlier for most people. They would disagree with me.
I love
Fort Wilderness is not a fancy high-end deluxe resort.
No, but my birthday week last year, we stayed there in the cabin and just did all that. We did the archery and the
gold mining.
Yeah, we did the stupid gold mining thing, and we did the Segway tour and all that. That was like one of the best weeks I've ever had at Disney World. That was fantastic.
I tried to join you. You invited me to join you for fishing.
The fishing thing that got canceled.
So in the middle of summer,
Yeah.
We book a 1 p.m. fishing excursion.
Yeah.
And I think we were none of us shocked when it rained and got canceled.
I didn't book it early enough, and all they had left was 1 o'clock. So I booked it and was like, oh, we'll see what happens. And it didn't happen.
So I don't know. Those wouldn't be the most popular choices. I'm sure that someone is like, we always stay at Grand Floridian or Poly or Contemporary or Yacht or Beach, which are all fine places. Yeah. Although I could rank, if I ranked them, Contemporary would be at the bottom, even though it has the best location. But I don't know. Something be said for the other ones.
Scott said Guardians is better than Current Rise.
Guardians is better than Current Rise?
It's not that hard. Like when you have only a few moving parts, it's really not that hard to function.
Well, these are different types of rides too, right? So there's something for everyone. This is Guardians. People with extreme motion sensitivity can't do Guardians. Most of them can do Rise. There's a small drop.
Yeah.
But most people, I think, are able to tolerate that. And even kind of the sudden movement and spinning of that trackless vehicle is not too extreme, except for people with the most, the highest amount of sensitivity to that motion.
Yeah.
Guardians is gonna get more people in terms of not feeling so good when they get off it. And it's compounded by the fact that the first thing you have to do when you get off it is go up and down a large flight of stairs. Yeah. So, like, I get it, right? That some people don't like Guardians. I think Guardians is fun and it's great for getting a little bit of those endorphins going, you know, you feel good and can scream a little bit and have fun.
It's incredibly fun. I just think Rise is more fundamentally a Disney attraction than Guardians is. Guardians missing a lot of hallmarks of a great Disney e-ticket, right? There are no animatronics, number one.
No real set pieces,
number
except
two,
the moon.
There's a lot of wonkiness in that warehouse, right? Like those, let's be honest, like, yeah, those projections are big and cool, but I can tell I'm in a box and not in space. Like, it is very clear where the top of the building, it is very clear where the tracks are. It's very, because you're lighting these big spaces, like the track becomes very clear to see. You know, like, it, as far as immersing you in an experience, Guardians is probably the most fun roller coaster maybe in the world. But it, as far as a quality Disney attraction, look at that big empty dumb space at the end, right? Where there's the screen with the Guardians and then 150 feet of nothing. Because something was supposed to be there, and it's just not there. But even if I didn't know something was supposed to be there, it's just weird. It's like this weird little screen and then a bunch of empty space and then that water-damaged panel that's been like that for a year and a half that no one wants to fix. Look at it next time.
I think Guardians is weird because it alternates between pretty cool, practical, physical spaces and then nothingness or something. Like, when you first start and you leave and you go up the first lift, you're like, oh, there's stuff to look at. There's all kinds of cool stuff. And you go into that room where you spin around to prep for the launch, and it's really, it really just feels like you're in a baggage claim area or something.
Right?
Like, like, it's just got, like, low-pile carpet and, like, a couple of lights that you see just sitting on there, and that feels weird. And then it launches you backwards, and you go through that tunnel, and you go up, and it looks amazing. It's, like, impossible to describe how cool what you see is. And then you go into a big kind of empty space where there's a lot of fun physical movement, and then there's just kind of projections. And then you go around that moon that's a really cool thing, and then you go into, like, kind of boring. It's kind of the other thing about Guardians that's weird, and Disney has started doing this. They do it with Rise, where they take a cue, where they go, I'm in front of you, behind you is someone, behind them is someone, and there's someone in front of me, and that's the order that you get on this ride in. And then Disney has started doing this thing where it is a defined cue, and then you walk into like a big open room that's like a cattle call, and then you go into another cattle call room, and then you're loaded onto a shuttle.
Yeah.
And then if you know where to go on the shuttle, you have a slight advantage over other people. And then you go into a big empty room again, and then you go into a defined queue, and then they split you up and put you into an open room again. And Guardians kind of does the same thing, where it's kind of like queue, open room, open room. If you know where to go, go to the far right. Then you go back into, like, funneled into a queue. I think that's weird.
I mean, Haunted Mansion did it.
But Haunted Mansion does it once.
Yeah.
These places do it multiple times.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's weird. And you know, Haunted Mansion being an omni mover where you can just kind of load in quickly, it's not
Yeah,
it's not the same. I don't know. I think it's weird.
Someone, a bunch of people saying how they love Everest.
I like the queue of Everest. I like the story of Everest. I like the visual impact of walking anywhere in that half of the park and seeing Everest. I like the ride vehicle, the train.
Yeah.
I like all. I love the visual of someone going up that lift hill. I love watching people from down there. I don't like the riding Everest.
The ride is bad.
I think no, I don't think it's bad.
I think it's bad.
I don't think it's bad. I ride. Just personally don't enjoy. Like, it goes backwards fast for a little too long. It just pushes you right to that where you're like, all right, and then it releases you.
Yeah.
But it just a little too long for me. I don't mind plunging into the darkness backwards, but I would like that to be over pretty quickly.
But what I hate about that, like, you plunge into the darkness backwards, but then sometimes there's always lights on in the mountain, and so you could see, like, something. You're like, there's just, like, pipes and stuff in here in this mountain. This is weird.
Yeah.
Like, there are parts where they didn't finish the mountain, so that backwards part in the dark, they're like, well, we don't need to build tunnels for this part. So they just did, and then you see, like, nets and piping and
I think it's the combination of going backwards in that curve. So, like, you launch backwards on Guardians, but it is – you're just going up, and then you kind of are released into this, like, low-gravity sort of soft spin to start the ride. And I think that's different than – what I feel on Everest is you're going down and then you're curling and going up, and you're kind of twisting, and it's just, like – 2 seconds too long of that for my body. It doesn't make me sick. It just makes me feel kind of crappy for a while. It just makes me feel like I don't want it. Gives me a headache.
But then the worst is what I hate most about Everest is that next scene with the projection of him ripping up the track.
Yeah.
You ever sat in like the last two rows?
Yeah.
You can't see it. There's a weird ledge of rock work that comes down and blocks your view of the scene. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Well, that happens on Runaway Railway if you're in the back, too. You're like, I don't know what happened. I guess Mickey saved us, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Runaway Railway's moronic. So I would love for
Everest
anyone,
is not moronic, though.
No, Railway is. Railway is real incompetent. It's an incompetent attraction. I don't know there's any seat you could sit on Railway and fully understand everything that went on in the attraction. And that's not because it's a madcap cartoon world. No, that's a simplistic explanation. No, you should be able to follow a story. On Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin, you go to a lot of weird different places very quickly. But at no point do you not understand what's going on in the attraction. With Railway, there's whole scenes you miss. There are people that don't see that jungle scene. They just show up and the sky's red already and immediately turn into a waterfall. And you're like, what was that?
Yeah.
What was the thing we just went past that didn't happen for us? I have no idea. Or the factory, right? If you're the last car into the factory, you're like, by the time you pull in, it's turning into a park already. What?
Yeah.
It is probably the worst timed attraction they've ever built in the entire 70-year history of Imagineering. I think it is the worst time thing. I think there are so many inconsistent show qualities depending where you sit in that ride.
I also, I don't love Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. It's fine.
It's way more competent.
But the storytelling, I don't have a problem with the storytelling.
Yeah.
Right? The storytelling on that ride is excellent. And the queue, once you get inside, is great.
Yeah.
And it's funny where you see him, you know, Gusto doing some things every now and then, like the stars and all that kind of stuff. Changing. I don't have a problem with the storytelling. Runaway Railway is just kind of like, look, everyone I love, my favorite pastime is going on that ride with people who've never been on it before.
Yeah.
Because all of them say the same thing. And it's, what the hell was that? But they're like, Andy and Hillary loved it, but they're laughing like, I have no idea what just happened. Yeah. I had fun, but I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah.
So you're not going to miss Runaway Railway. Okay, I'm going to mark that off the list. Any entertainment you're going to miss?
What's left? No street.
Free concerts at Epcot every night.
There's no Streetmosphere. I mean, I won't have Fantasmic, but I'll have Believe Sea of Dreams, which I enjoy. So go see that.
Okay. You'll have lots of parades.
I mean, the bands are similar quality. A parade, obviously. Two parades that will blow away anything here currently in Dreamlights and although Harmony in Color is dark for most of this leg of my visit. It's ending in like a week for a month.
Rural Ursine concerts here?
I mean, I will go enjoy the original Country Bear Jamboree, some of it in Japanese, some in English.
I love that it's in Japanese. Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't it be? But
some is and some isn't, though. Some of the songs aren't.
Do they sing Old Slewfoot? Around the middle?
Yeah, it's there.
Do they sing it in Japanese?
That's in Japanese, I think, yeah.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
But then, like, one of the songs they got rid of, Devilish Mary, well, they got rid of all of them now, but one of the songs that was cut in, like, 2012, Devilish Mary, is still in English in Japan. So not only do you get to see it as it was in the original show.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They do perform Fractured Folk Song, the other song that was removed from the old show. That one's in Japanese, though. Confess the Lion King. I don't go super often to see. That's one of those things I do, like, once a year when my parents are here. I'll do Festival of Lion King. Love Festival of Lion King. I don't make it a point to go to the park and wait in line and go to see because it's a hassle.
It's too cramped. They make you scoot until you're touching people. I put seating in. Don't put me on high school bleachers. Put me in a chair. Let me sit in a chair. Yeah. I'm tired of scooching.
Yeah, I know. You've gone on this rant before.
Yeah.
So I try to keep some of that stuff special for when you know, people are going to visit or someone wants to do it that doesn't live here. I think I've only seen Nemo, Big Blue, and Beyond once, and I think it was when my parents were here.
You were not a fan?
No, because it's bastardized Finding Nemo the musical. It's terrible. I hate it. I love that show. Finding Nemo the musical was fantastic, and they butchered it. Butchered it to shave time off of it and also to, you know, anyone that goes see that, any media outlet in this community that went to that show and told you they liked it better is, I hate to be this guy, but they're kind of a moron because it was clear, like, they digitized characters and put them on screen to pay less people, right? It was to be cheaper and to be shorter.
Do you think, though, that isn't it likely that guest feedback was like, hey, the show's just a little too long?
That's fine. That doesn't require cutting half the people in it.
Yeah.
That doesn't require having less entertainment. We have less entertainment than – we have four parks, and we have less entertainment than resorts that have one park. We have so little live entertainment, right? What's left at Magic Kingdom? You have the Main Street Philharmonic, a parade, the Castle stage show.
The Venture Friends Cavalcade, does that count?
Sure.
And Festival of Fantasy.
That's it. That's all that's there. Epcot has fared better. They've kept a lot more of their
the orchestra their featuring bands. Former members of ELO.
But they've kept more of their, like, part, right? The Canada stage typically has someone there. The Germany stage.
Mariachi Cobra is still doing it.
Mariachi Cobra is still kicking. The Voices of Liberty is still going. There's a decent amount of World Showcase entertainment still standing. Future World, or whatever you want to call it at this point, has nothing, which is, I'm glad they're opening that stage in Communicore, because I'm like, the front of this park is dead. Something needs to be alive up here. And I'm glad that Encanto thing is at it. I was like, that works. I get that. That's a good idea. Yeah, there'll be some life up here. But then you look at Studios has, like, nothing. There's, like, there's Fantasmic and Beauty and the Beast.
Frozen.
Oh. I mean, they're going to have Mermaid, I guess. But those are also...
Is Frozen dark right now? Aren't they... Is it going on right now?
No, they haven't.
I thought they were, like, closing for a period of time.
There
for
was
some
a refurb
sort
of some kind done. At some point.
That show's hilarious.
I don't even know if I consider that stuff the same. Right? I'm just talking about atmospheric, like, outside stuff, right? Like, we've been counting the indoor stuff, but, like, those are attractions, right? Like, Studios doesn't have a lot of rides. So let's be honest, Beauty and the Beast and Frozen and Mermaid act as in place of rides there, right? Yeah. That is capacity they need. But as far as, like, outside, out in the park, what entertainment is there out in the park at Studios, right? Or so we're talking about maybe Boba Fett pops up in Galaxy's Edge and those four other characters.
Not Boba Fett.
Or not Boba Fett.
Mando, right?
Mandalorian, sorry.
Gosh.
That was Disneyland. He had Boba Fett. And then the Green Army Men show up in Toy Story Land, and that's kind of it, other than character meet and greets. Yeah, I mean, Animal Kingdom's got one thing. They've got Kevin, which is a smash hit and it's loved, but that's like, it's all that's going on for them.
Well, they have the Viva Gaia. Right? Yeah. They have the boats going by, the little pontoon boats. Seasonally, they have the Merry Menagerie, which might be one of our favorite things.
That's my favorite thing at Disney World currently when it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your favorite thing at Disney World is the Merry Menagerie.
I love atmospheric entertainment. I like that atmospheric entertainment brings the park to life. And you'll hear a lot about this when McNair Wilson talks about Streetmosphere at Stage 89. It's about making the place feel inhabited and real and alive. And we've done such a fantastic job at Walt Disney World of making all these places feel not alive. They all feel very empty and dead. Think about the middle of Epcot, right, that they just finished. It just feels lifeless, right? There needs to be some sort of performance.
It's a good place to study.
Happening.
Cram for your midterms.
There needs to be a small band or something in that space. Something has to happen there beyond that Encanto show to bring that to life. Even just something else in addition to them, like Muppet Mobile Lab comes back or something. But something's got to happen there. It just feels so. These big, open, lifeless spaces have to stop being a thing.
Maybe while you're gone, they will rally together and create a whole bunch of new entertainment offerings. You're going to come back to a whole new Disney World where the center of Epcot is complete. And where there's entertainment everywhere you can
kind of see. There's going to be a drone show at Disney Springs, and I'm proud of them. I mean, the summer
there's good
lineup,
entertainment at Disney Springs, by the way. There's bands every 10 feet.
You're not wrong. The summer lineup for Disney World this year is pretty strong. Like, they're doing the drone show at Springs, added meet and greets, and it's a good lineup. The Encanto thing at Epcot. There's enough interesting stuff going on, and in addition to a new attraction with Tiana. That it's going to be, I think it's a good, strong summer, as opposed to, you know, people want to keep bringing up Universal. What's Universal doing? Bringing out a repainted kids area from 1993.
They killed that Sing It show. I don't know if they're bringing anything.
They killed a bunch of their entertainment. Yeah. If Disney did that, we'd all be making fun of them on social media. But of course, those people that make fun of Disney on social media do not return the favor to Universal. You know, folks, we need to understand these are both big mega corporations with a lot of money. What applies to Disney applies to Universal and vice versa, right? And some of those anti-Disney critiques are very valid, but we have to hold the same critiques to Universal or that product, which is already inferior. And I'm sorry, I don't really, I'm not going to argue with you about it. It's an inferior product. That already inferior product is becoming far more inferior. They cut all that entertainment. No one said a word about it. You know, they closed the Legacy store without letting anyone say goodbye. They just put the walls up. We're like, oops, you don't get to say goodbye to this really great thing that we made that people fell in love with. It's just gone now. Between all of that, like, you know, they were given a hall pass, which is nonsense. You know, and never mind that, the Kong, right? Reign of Kong. They went to 2D. It's a budgetary change. It was a budgetary decision to go to 2D so they don't have to wash 3D glasses. On top of that, they are unwilling to close the ride to fix it so it could go outside again.
Oh, my. But I would love to convert a bunch of stuff to 2D. Like, I don't think 3D is necessary on Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Yeah. I don't think it's necessary on maybe even Flight of Passage.
Oh, I like
Flight of Passage. I think I could enjoy Flight of Passage without the 3D glasses. Mm. Certainly Remy, I can enjoy without
like in
that.
Paris, they've run without the 3D at times, and people say they like it better, so.
Yeah, I know that Axel said it was like broken, so they ran it in 2D, and everyone's like, we like this better.
And then they still brought it back, and were like, guys, you could have saved money, which you have very little of.
Like, Muppet Vision 3D needs to be 3D.
Yeah. PhilharMagic needs to be 3D.
PhilharMagic needs to be 3D.
Yeah.
I don't know that any of these rides need to be 3D. I don't know that Star Tours needs to be 3D. I realize some people like that.
Yeah, Star Tours was an interesting moment in time, I think, where the Dolby 3D was hot and fresh and new. And I think George wanted it. George Lucas, I think, specifically wanted it. We'll ask at Stage 89. We have the people that work.
George Lucas is coming to Stage 89.
George isn't. But the folks from WDI that worked on the new Star Tours will be there. So our presentation is actually going to be how original Star Tours got put in the studios.
Yeah.
And then we have the team that brought The Adventures Continue.
I told you this story before. I went on Star Tours when they redid it, was that 2012? Yeah.
2011.
My friend, who I hadn't seen in years, I happened to be here on vacation. He was here. Yeah. And he goes, "Hey, we're in line for Star Tours." I was like, "You're crazy, man. There's going to be a million people there." He's like, "Yeah, we're at the front."
Yeah.
I go, "Where's that?" And he goes, "Go around here." And they're like back in Streets of America. They had them line queued up in Streets of America.
They put a shade over the whole street.
Yeah.
They hung a canopy across the street.
So they're like, they're doing some media thing. And then eventually they walk us up to Star Tours.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in the trees, the fake trees. And there goes George Lucas walking right in front of us.
Yeah.
And then they go in and then they let us go in and ride. And when I go to get into our ride vehicle, George Lucas is leaving the same ride vehicle. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even something I intended to be there. Yeah. And it's just like my friends kind of let me cut in line with them.
Yeah.
Don't cut in line. That's rude. But nobody said anything. I showed up with two beers and they're like, "Get on in here." I think I bought a beer for someone else too.
There you go.
I don't think you can usually get to the front of the line for one beer, but
we waited outside all night to be there. We had already been on the ride during the soft openings, but we wanted to see whatever was going to happen on the stage with George.
Yeah.
George showed up and we watched the ceremony and they like blew up. They fired lasers or rockets from the stage to Star Tours. And you saw the explosion at Star Tours. And they were like,
That's cool. Probably why they kept us back on Streets of America queued up. And then because they kind of marched in, they had like a whole imperial procession.
Yeah.
Come there to the front of Star Tours.
Yeah, they were leaning into the story, which was Star Tours was harboring, rebel spies, right? And so that was the whole, story. But then the rebellion, blew up the shield or whatever.
Yeah. Highlight of Lee's life.
Yeah.
When I took her on Star Tours and she got to be the rebel spy.
Yeah.
She was the giddiest person you've ever seen when she got to be the rebel spy.
I like Star
Tours.
You're going to the media event next week.
Oh, boy, I forgot. One more. Yeah. Add it to my list of stuff to do.
You get a nice breakfast. And you
get to bring Jake?
I don't know Nana yet. Did they email you back yet?
Nobody emailed me anything.
We'll find out.
You better fire that iMac up again before
I'll email them today and find out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm sending you in my place. Star Tours media.
Do I then automatically take your place as getting all the darts and glares from the other people on the media list that hate
probably
us?
Probably. I assume they know you and hate you also. So
it's probably true.
The resentment is strong with these ones.
I'm sorry. It doesn't feel good.
Oh well. Let me not do what's right.
All right. Is there anything else you're gonna miss? List is. Are you gonna miss? Yeah, you're gonna miss me and the staff. Aww. You're gonna miss your friends.
Some of them.
Some of them.
Not all.
Look at this deep, honest look into Tom. I'll miss some people.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
You miss coming in here and recording the news. People are gonna miss you.
I will miss.
They're
doing
mean to me when you're not here.
As you know, usually intended. Yeah. We're still figuring out if I'm gonna be able to do. Some of them, we got to figure out what these upload speeds.
There's always at least one person mean to me in the comments when you're not here.
Not as bad as Jason, though. When Jason hosts the news, people are incredibly mean. Those comments were, oh my God. I just took out a box of popcorn and read the comments.
I mean, someone said something nasty about me. I just left it. I didn't delete it or anything.
I mean, they say nasty things about me, and I'm the permanent host that they tune in for. People on the internet are just nasty. Someone was mad that the chapters didn't show up for them, and they actually said something kind of mean about Disney Food Blog too. It was like, oh, don't become garbage like Disney Food Blog that doesn't do chapters.
The thing is, if they looked, the chapters were in the description.
They were, yeah.
There's just because you have to do it when you do chapters in YouTube in the description, you put 0:00, and then you have to put the word intro. And the editor, when they put it up, they put the timestamp, but they put a link immediately for, because it was a promo leading off the show. And I think that made it so that the chapters were there. You could click on the timestamps, but they weren't showing up on the bottom of the screen where you could just like hover, click. No. You have to actually do the hard work of going into the description. And as opposed to like, oh man, there's something wrong with the chapters. Someone's just said your channel is turning into garbage because you don't have a chapter.
They said like Disney Food Blog, though. I want to add that part.
That one felt good, right?
But also, like, again, it's a free service, right? This is a free service, and because two episodes didn't give you chapters, your life is ruined. Sir, that scrub, that time scrub will work. You can fast forward if you'd like.
That's what I
do. It'll be okay. Nothing is worth yelling at people that provide you a free service that you utilize. It's not worth it. But that's also like when people are, it's just clickbait. It's like, do you subscribe to the channel? Well, yes. Do you watch the show? Well, yes. Well, what's the difference if you watch one? It got you to watch one you weren't going to watch otherwise, right? You don't know what the other stories in the show are. We only can put one or two in a title or a graphic.
And I don't think that our titles are deceitful.
No. But they do have to garner attention. This is a physical space and a studio and people work in it, folks. We got bills to pay.
Should we come with a good clickbait title for this particular episode of the podcast?
Tom leaves. Just like
Tom Corliss leaving the country.
Yeah.
No, because everybody knows that already.
No, we just put like Tom says goodbye. I promise you that Tom will work. Tom
says goodbye.
There will be so many people.
Billy, here, look at the camera and give Billy like a really, or this camera, give Billy like a really sad face for the thumbnail. And it'll be Tom is gone. There you go. That's how the sausage gets made around here. Tom is gone. Tom Corliss leaving WWNT.
Yeah. I think we just put Tom says goodbye. I think that's it.
Tom says goodbye.
I think that's it. And it will
be. Let's see if the Wigs have any good ideas for a good clickbait headline for this episode. Maybe we can get more
than that. People say they like the Tom says goodbye.
Yeah. Tom tells the world everything he hates before
Tom's final goodbye.
Tom's final goodbye. Tom's farewell. How do you say like, I know you, wait for, so how do you say goodbye in,
well, that's, thank you. That's
no, it's, why am I drawing a blank on how to say goodbye in Japanese? It's a real, sayonara.
Yeah.
Tom says sayonara.
No, it's not. Tom says goodbye. Just people be like, is he leaving for good? It's like, oh my God, what? And even the people that hate me will tune in. They'll be like, ah, oh, he's not actually.
And gone. Even worse, we're stuck with Eric, who's going to be double stressed as he's managing all this other stuff in addition to doing Tom's shows. So we're going to do the podcast. Is going to keep going while you're gone.
Yeah, it has to. The show must go on.
I have a list of people.
Yeah.
And who knows what will happen. Because at some point, we're going to be doing construction, and we might have to do it from my, like, office at home, or maybe from the back seat of my car, or maybe from a nearby jail. And maybe we'll get that bird on the pot. Look at him. He's just he actually doesn't have to go to the bathroom. He's just waiting until he does have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, he's sitting right
in the corner right by our window.
I guess I could be on, if we film one on May 3rd, I could be on that one. Whatever one we
should
film.
Should we do it live? Is that during Stage 89?
It's during Stage 89. We can invite the Wigs in. Yeah.
You want to see if George Lucas wants to be on?
And then Bob Weiss will be on.
Lucas and Bob Weiss, and us.
Yeah.
I'm sure people will be lining up to join us on that podcast.
Don't forget for Stage 89 that your last chance to buy the discounted streaming ticket is the end of the month. So March 31st is your last chance to buy that at $10. It's not the
end
of the world.
Didn't you already pull the rug out from people on that, though? Like, didn't you already say that once?
It was supposed to be March 15th. We extended it for a couple extra days.
That was very kind, very sweet.
It was. That being said, although if you pay the $19.89, it still goes to Give Kids the World Village. So, I mean, it still goes to a great charity. So, I don't, either way, the charity wins. But if you don't want to donate, if you can't afford to donate $19.89 to Give Kids the World, then you could donate $10 instead and watch Stage 89 either live or on demand for 30 days or both. At stage89.com. We still have, we've sold about 2/3 of our in-person tickets at this point, so we're almost sold out. If you can be here in person, I highly, highly recommend, because I think this is a once-in-a-lifetime
thing. But if you want to stay home and save me the headache of more catering to schedule, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Please come. I'll feed you.
I'll feed you personally.
Oh, personally, I will. We are all going to get DoorDash from Pollo Tropical to welcome Tom
what does everybody
back
want?
To America.
Punching in.
I'll have 104 Tropi Chops with chicken. What else?
The
that
restaurant
chicken steak,
would explode.
Pork.
They'd just leave.
They would just leave. Yeah. And then we're all going to go to Martha's Vineyard to celebrate when we're done.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you're going to miss. So Poppy will miss you. Poppy has grown quite fond of Tom over the last few days.
I like that whenever I emerge from the bedroom, Poppy comes out and barks as if no one knew I was there.
She's just letting us know Tom's up.
Yeah.
Now, that's the thing when we have house guests is that while Poppy's asleep in our bedroom, she might forget that there's other people in the house. So she hears someone stirring to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom or something like that. And she'll let us know about it.
She barked when I was just turning stuff off. But then when I actually went to the bathroom at like 1 a.m., I didn't hear anything. So I don't think she realized.
Once she goes under the covers, that means she's off duty.
She's off duty.
All right. Yeah. But I mean, she has the new habit of barking at the TV, which is hilarious. They let there be a dog, a horse, or a goat, or even a bird on the TV, and she will be off the couch and standing on her hind legs barking at whatever's on the screen. She barked at WWE superstars last night. She didn't like all the fighting.
No.
Not a big fan.
Yeah.
And you're going to go see wrestling while you're in Japan.
I think so.
At the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
All right. Well, I'm sure that everyone is going to miss you,
I'll at least say that. Do we know where the vlogs are going to be yet? Are they on this channel?
I'll find out on the 25th.
Okay.
I'll find out on the 25th.
So we'll find out. But by the time this airs, we'll know if there's a new channel or not.
The Tom vlog. Also, I want to create the Tom's Tokyo Minute that we'll edit into News Today episodes.
Yeah.
So the idea is I'm going to say like, okay, that's all the news from Disneyland. Now for the news in Tokyo, we're going to go to Tom's Tokyo Minute. Hey, Tom. And then you're going to be like, konnichiwa, Eric. And then you'll read the news from Tokyo.
Yeah.
You think?
We could do that, sure.
And I want to have like the like the little 8-bit video game music when we cut
it. It needs to be like a very Japanese television show opening.
Oh, yeah.
But we also need to have like, we'll have Nana do the voiceover in Japanese, right?
Okay. We could do that. And then every day, Tom will teach us, like every episode, you'll teach us one Japanese word that you learned. What do you think?
But it's just attraction titles like Journey to the Center of the Earth.
This is Soarin', Fantastic Flight. Wait. You know how to say that already, don't you? No?
I know how they say it on like the promotional material.
Yeah.
It's like Soarin', Fantastic Flight. Oh,
really?
It's something like that, yeah.
They just say like
Center of the Earth.
Okay.
Center of the Earth, though? Something like that. It is. I know some people are probably like, that's offensive. Like, that's actually how they say it.
So when I went to language school in the military, I was originally supposed to speak a different language than I ended up speaking. But one of the hardest languages at Defense Language Institute is Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah.
So I had a friend in study hall who was taking Mandarin. And he goes, I don't understand any of this. And he's like his first like month or two into the class.
Yeah.
And I think Mandarin's probably a year and a half course. Yeah. And I said, let me hear. And I put on the headphones. They issued you like a tape recorder thing. And they would have news broadcasts and stuff that you would listen to try to learn how to speak a language. And I listened to it. I go, all right. I don't speak a bit of Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah.
And I go, they're talking about a basketball game. He's like, what? Yeah, they're talking about a basketball game. And they like opens up his study guide and he turns to the back page and he's like, just like, they are talking about a basketball game. How do you know that? You speak Mandarin? I'm like, no. He didn't know because it's all like stuff I can't understand and I hear the name Michael Jordan.
Oh.
So it's like, da 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 da, Michael Jordan, da 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 da. I was like, oh yeah. He's like, man, you really pick up languages fast. I was like, well, the military did send me here because I tested well in languages. You know? Mm-hmm. Those are the days. But I look forward to you speaking more Japanese. and teaching us more about your experience. I want to see stuff not just from Disney parks from you on your vlogs.
Yeah.
I want to see stuff from like Tokyo proper and like you going to the corner store to get milk tea. That's what Spencer always did.
Because it's not like, I know in this country we've become desensitized to the filming in public, but in Japan, you know, I think there's still some like white guy American filming in, you know, convenience store and stuff like that. It's maybe still little.
There certainly was never an American stereotype of Japanese people using cameras a lot.
Yeah, fair.
No, there was. I wish you luck. I think it's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what the milk tea thing is all about. Try the milk tea. Let me know. That was always, whenever Spencer was going to be on someone's show, he'd be like, hey, I'm running, I'm going to be late because the internet is out and they got to reset it in my apartment or something like that. And then, like, he'd join the stream and he's got, like, a fresh bag with, like, milk tea and all this stuff and he's eating. You're like, you went to the store. Spencer, you went to the store. You didn't have an internet blip.
Yeah.
We know. It's okay. Miss Spencer. Are you going to see Spencer while you're there?
I would assume
In Osaka.
He's in Osaka. I would think so. I don't know when I'm going to Osaka yet. It depends when the Donkey Kong ride is.
Are you going to take the Shinkansen?
Yeah, I have to, yeah.
You can't fly?
I guess you could. I think the Shinkansen's easier.
I want to vlog about the Shinkansen.
Yeah.
A train that goes 200 miles an hour?
Yeah.
And that Brad Pitt is not fighting on?
Well, we're not even going to just do vlogs. I think we're going to do some sort of educational stuff that helps people book.
Yeah.
And navigate some of this. So, yeah, like traveling between Tokyo and Osaka will be like a whole little video and article. Yeah.
I remember we had a meeting and Spencer like got off a train and went, and there's like a little place in a train station. You can rent like a little internet kiosk to do office work.
Yeah.
You pay by the hour. And he's sitting in a little thing. Hey, guys, what's up? You know, like.
Yeah.
We might have that somewhere. But it's certainly not as common as it is there. Like, it's probably in some airport somewhere where they, you know, you ever go to the, walk by the airport and you're like, people pay money to go in this place and take a nap?
Mm.
You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
I need to stay in a capsule at some point. I'm going to find a capsule.
You definitely need to stay in a capsule.
Yeah, I need to do one.
You will have no room to navigate inside that capsule because it is not designed for people like you or me. Well, I mean, you have size 15 feet. Your feet won't fit in a capsule. You're going to have to keep your toes pointed and your knees bent.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
All right. If you have ideas for stuff you'd like to see Tom do in Tokyo, please let us know.
Or in Japan in general.
In the comments. Yeah, or in Japan at large.
I'm going to go all over the place.
Let us know in the comments. You've got a long flight. By the time this airs, you will be in Tokyo. You have a long flight tomorrow. It airs Tuesday morning at 10. You leave tomorrow.
And yeah, I will be there, yeah.
You'll be there. You'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I'm sure.
Yeah, it'll be Tuesday afternoon when I get there, but it'll still be Monday afternoon here, or Monday. No,
oh, man,
Monday.
My head's already hurting from having to
it'll
do all the
Monday,
math.
It'll be Monday very early or late. Very late Monday, very early Tuesday here, no? Yeah.
Anyway, let us know things that you'd like to see Tom do. Maybe we can make a fool of him. Maybe we can do, like, little dares to you to do in Tokyo.
Please don't make me be the embarrassing American.
Tom,
please.
Go eat 1 pint of wasabi. On camera.
I like wasabi.
Yeah.
But that's still probably hard to do.
Yeah.
It's
a tough one. All right. Thanks for joining us on the WDW News Today podcast. I'm Eric Morton, and we will see you next time.
We'll see you real soon. Or some maybe of not. Us sooner.
Bye.